Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to our first club segment of the 2016-2017 season. Joining us is Gitto Llewellyn, who you can find on the Jackcast, and you can read his stuff in the Carmarthen Journal. Gitto, obviously it's been a big summer for Swansea, starting with a change in ownership. Why don't you talk us through that for a little bit?
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, we've had the same owners since 2002, when they took over as a consortium of supporters from a very corrupt Australian businessman called Tony Petty. This was when we were in the fourth tier in League Two and on the brink of relegation to the conference. The club was basically saved by supporters. And from then on in, it was pretty much smooth sailing, avoided relegation to the conference, turned things around financially for the club, got them making profits year on year, and got them put in a plan on the pitch, which got us playing the kind of football that's that we've been famous for over the last few years, and it's been one of really probably one of the great success stories of the modern football in this country. If I'm honest, to take a club that was on its knees in the fourth division to the Premier League and into European football once. It was in a remarkably short amount of time. It was incredible. It was done without the backing of super rich billionaires. It was done with local businessmen who just had a passion for the club mostly, and a few people that they dragged into it to help them carry it out. We've all been very, very proud of our sustainable form of ownership over the last 10, 15 years. Towards the end of last season, it was revealed that they were looking, well, we've known for a while that they were probably looking to sell up. And nobody could really blame them because they've worked so hard over the years, I guess. It had to come to an end sometime. But towards the end of last season, it became clear that the leading bidders were an American consortium based largely in California. The two main figures were Steve Kaplan and Jason Levien, two people that none of us had ever heard of in Wales. They'd worked together mostly in the NBA and dabbled in other sports, including the MLS. At the time, we didn't know much about them, and this was a continuing source of frustration that as time went on, we really didn't find out much more about them. The deal was finally completed a few weeks ago, albeit in pretty shambolic circumstances, because a press conference was called, the media was assembled there, they were kept waiting for about 3 hours, and then somebody came out to tell them, oh, actually, there is a bit of infighting behind the scenes, so we're not going to be able to get to this press conference today. Then, of course, everything was delayed for 24 hours, made the club look amateurish, which has been happening a lot more often these days than it ever did under the old way of running things. And usually when you hear that a foreign investment is coming into a club, fans generally seem to welcome it. They see it as a chance to bring in new players, etc. Push the club up the table. That's not really been the reaction at Swansea. More than anything, it's been concern. One of the main concerns is that there has been a real breakdown in communication between the last board and the supporters trust, which holds around a 20% stake in the club and has a place on the board, has done since 2003. This has really worried people. The Supporters Trust say that the board, the new owners, have had very little contact with them. They still don't know what their objectives are, why they've bought the club, what they plan to do with it, what their long-term aim is, how they want to go about achieving that long-term aim, what kind of owners they're going to be. We've still got a lot of unanswered questions, even after the press conferences and the carefully worded statements. A lot of people still had real concerns and still needed convincing about these new owners. And what's happened since then really hasn't helped things, because the impression we get is that this long, drawn-out saga has really damaged our attempts to strengthen over the summer, sadly. And really, we don't know what kind of shape the club is in at the moment, which direction we're heading in, what kind of owners the new guys are going to be. We don't really think they've got tons of money. I don't expect them to be flashing the cash anytime soon. And that's fine. That's not really a problem. That's not what we're about, if I'm honest. The real concern is that so far there has been very little contact with fan groups, which is a big, big point here at Swansea. And the lack of communication and openness. And I think at the time when it was announced that the last board would be selling, I don't think anybody blamed them. I mean, they've achieved wonders at our club. They really have. So nobody was going to blame them for finally cashing in on this incredible, magical creation that they've manufactured over the years. But they did have a responsibility to sell responsibly. And I don't think, the evidence so far suggests that they haven't done that. One of the board members, John von Sveden, was asked on Twitter the other day what he understood of how they were going, their plans for the club. And his response was, paraphrasing only slightly here, "We don't know, we just have to have faith." That suggests to me that they did not that they didn't carry out due diligence, that they didn't do their homework on these people, and that they have pretty much sold to the first people who they could sell the club to. And, you know, to condense it all, really, we're very concerned.
Yeah, that does sound very concerning, especially for a club that I think most neutrals viewed as one of the better run ones in the league, if not, you know, the best, especially considering the wages that you were working with. Obviously, this has had some impact on your players, some looking like they're on the way out, Gylfi Sigurdsson committing to staying, some rumors of players coming in. What do you think the impact is between those, and if you wouldn't mind touching on a few of those players that you're interested in bringing in and could potentially lose?
Well, that's the real frustration. That's the first real frustration that we've seen played out, I guess, for lack of a better word. At the end of last season, there was a general feeling that we'd got a bit lucky last year. It was an extremely poor Premier League. We stayed up because there were a couple of teams that were worse than us. But there's a feeling that we may not be. There was a feeling that we may not be so lucky in future if we didn't, you know, really freshen up the squad. And what has happened since then is just bizarre. The only two notable signings we've made were Mike van der Hoorn, a relatively young defender from Ajax, and Leroy Fair, who was on loan at the end of this last season, had some impressive performances, but, you know, didn't look like a world beater by any stretch of the imagination. And the players that have gone out, we've been left in a situation where we have no senior strikers. The closest thing we have to that, Andre Ayew, who played as a striker a few times last season and did a decent job, but not to use him in that position if possible, and Oliver McBurney, who is a Scottish under-21 international who's never played above League One level before. So those are our striking options as things stand a week and a half before the start of the Premier League. This despite the fact that the glaringly obvious main priority from the last season was to get a striker. We wanted more strikers, not fewer. We've let go of Adair, probably a bit too early considering we sold him for €5 million, which seemed a good price at the time, but then he scored the winner in the Euros, and apparently Lille have since been receiving bids for €10 and €12 million. So maybe we could have made a bit of extra money if we just held on a little bit longer, but I'm not going to complain about the fact that Adair is out the club. Then a strange run in Alberto Pulaski leaving only a couple of months after joining the club. He was bought for quite a lot of money, about €8 million. Had some decent performances last season. I think most people felt he didn't get the chance that he deserved. But it seems as though he wasn't happy at the club and wanted to go back to Italy. That's something he can't really help with. But then we've allowed Buffetimbi Gomez to go on loan to Marseille. We're also paying around 40% of his wages while he's out in Marseille. It's a cause of great celebration for most fans. He's a real scapegoat. But fans dislike him immensely for his attitude and his inability to stay on side. But it has left us in a situation where we have no strikers. And we're not, the strikers that we're being linked with largely aren't inspiring. And I think frustration has really boiled over. Was it last week when Joe Allen finally signed for Stoke for £13 million? Joe Allen, according to a lot of reports, was very open to returning to Swansea. He's got a house here, very much closer to his family. He's just had an incredible Euro 2016, where he was voted among the best midfielders in the competition. I thought he was hugely undervalued at Liverpool, where he was brilliant at the second half of last season. I think he's a Champions League quality midfielder who was open to coming back to Swansea and was available for £13 million, and we didn't make a serious bid. That really angered a lot of people because it showed such a lack of ambition. It was a no lose signing, that one, because you signed him for £13 million, and in the current market, you can sell him on in years to come for much, much more than that. He's only 26. His best years are ahead of him. I felt it was an incredible lack of ambition which saw us allow him to go to Stoke so easily. We didn't put up a fight, and I think Stoke have got themselves an exceptional signing. We've really missed out on a player who could have taken us up another level. Since then, I mean, the names that we've been linked with, one, they're uninspiring, and two, there never seems to be anything more than speculation, never anything which suggests that we're actually going to make a serious bid for them. That we've been linked with the likes of Ajoa and Chadli and Llorente, but there are a few stories developing about Llorente now which may suggest things are developing there. But generally speaking, there doesn't seem to have been any kind of plan in place for this summer in terms of strengthening the squad. And we face the prospect now of starting the new season with a much weaker team than we ended last season with.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, obviously that's not what you'd want to be hearing, you know, just 10 days out from the start of the Premier League season. In terms of outgoings, Ashley Williams being rumored to Everton. Some saying it's confirmed, some saying it's not. Also, Andre Ayew to West Ham, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me as they already have five wingers, unless they want to play him up front, which they shouldn't, in my opinion. What's your view on those?
The Ashley Williams one is heartbreaking, if I'm honest. He's been here since 2008. He's captained us for most of his Swansea City career, I think, by now. He barely misses any matches. He's, I think, since he arrived in the Premier League, no other player has made more appearances than him. He is just a tank. He is an incredible captain. I mean, seriously, among the very, very best in the league, if not the best in the league. He is just an inspiration. And there have been so many times in the past where, when things have been bad, he has just raised his game and managed to raise the game of others around him. It does look likely that he's going to Everton. It's been widely reported by some trustworthy journalists here in Wales that he is about to go there. I think that's a damning indictment of the lack of ambition shown by the club. If I'm honest, if Ashley Williams feels he's better off moving to Everton, the team which finished narrowly above us last season, there was very little in it. We were pretty much on the same level last season. The fact that, you know, despite being captain for so long, despite his unquestionable love for the club, he feels he's better off going to Everton, age 32. I think that speaks volumes about what state the club is in at the moment. I mean, how in terms of how Ashley Williams will be viewed, he will always be viewed as an absolute legend at this club. He has contributed to some of our greatest ever years. He's one of our all-time best players, one of my all-time favourite players, a real legend, an absolute brilliant guy to have around the club. I think Everton are getting a fantastic personality, even if Ashley Williams' best days are probably behind him. He didn't have a great season last year, that has to be said. It was definitely his poorest season for the Swans. But still, you could see his influence and his personality there. It's just something that you never want to lose from the club. I've said in the past that I could see him as a future Swansea manager even. So to see him leave is heartbreaking. On the Andre Ayew front, until very recently, I didn't think it was even a possibility of him leaving, because it would have seemed completely senseless from the Swans to allow him to leave when we've got rid of so many other attacking options. But if we're willing to let Ashley Williams go, then who's to say that we're not willing to let Andre Ayew go? I think this is one of the problems when a club gets into this kind of situation. Other clubs do smell blood and think, oh, actually, we can manipulate this situation for our own benefit. And I think that there is a chance that that could happen with Andre Ayew and West Ham, sadly, no. I desperately hope we hold on to him. If we do sell him, I think this season looks extremely bleak for us.
Yeah, I did just want to bring up something about Ashley Williams. I know that his impact at the club has been massive over the years, but you've mentioned many times that Swansea struggled in the air last year, especially on set pieces. He's not the biggest guy. He is getting up in years. Is there even a tiny part of you that thinks maybe you could find a replacement that at least on the pitch could have a similar, if not better, impact?
As a footballer, by now, there are better defenders that we could get. I mean, the thought of James Chester going to Derby County, which has been rumoured recently, is atrocious, if I'm honest. He was so badly misused by Tony Pulis at West Bromwich Albion last season. And I think at the Euros he showed what a fantastic defender he is when you really invest confidence in him and make him one of the main players in your team. I think he'd be a great addition. But in terms of leadership, he's no Ashley Williams. And fact is, we've got a bad feeling that the coming season could be very, very difficult. And in those kind of situations, you want leaders like Ashley Williams. And that's what we're not going to be able to replace. We can replace him as a footballer because his best years are probably behind him. Had a poor season last year. There are some good defenders available who would be within our price range probably. Maybe even within the squad, if I'm honest. Jordi Amat has been waiting for years for his chance to prove himself. This may be his chance to really make that starting spot his own. But it's just his personality and his leadership which we really feel losing. I know sometimes leadership can be overblown and captaincy, we make a bit too much of it. But in the case of Ashley Williams, it really does matter. It matters a heck of a lot. And I'm just looking around the current squad at the moment and I'm wondering where are the leaders in terms of players who are likely to be starting most matches next season. We've got relatively few, I would say. And that's the main reason why Ashley Williams going to Everton is really going to hurt us.
Yeah, to wrap up, I've seen a lot of negative things. I have a lot of Swansea followers and I follow a fair few amount of Swansea guys and it seems very pessimistic at the moment. Is it relegation battle pessimistic or just disappointing compared to how well your club is usually run?
We've had a real boost tonight in the news that Gylfi Sigurdsson is going to sign a new contract. The timing of that is superb because we've really been feeling low, if I'm honest, over the last few weeks, days, whatever. The fact that Gylfi Sigurdsson is definitely staying is a massive boost because he's a player that can just score out of anything. He's such a great creative influence to have and a hard worker. Great, you know, he's a player that most teams in the Premier League would love to have in their squad. So the fact that he's staying put is a big boost after just weeks and weeks of non-stop negativity. But yeah, I think if you ask most Swansea City fans at the moment, what are your expectations for the season? I think relegation battle is what we're expecting and a more difficult one than we had last year. And last year's was tough enough at times. We've become used over the last few years to people writing the Swans off, saying, you know, predicting the Swans for relegation because we're a small club. And, you know, we at the end of the season then look back and say, ha ha ha, you know, what were you thinking? But if any pundits predict that we're going down this season, I don't think you're going to have any Swansea City fans putting up much of an argument that we're not, if I'm honest. That's not to say that we all think we're doomed to relegation, but we definitely can't see anything more than a relegation fight the way things are at the moment. I mean, in the past we've targeted top half, even European football. The ambition which took us to those places is long gone from this club. And we've got to the stage where, you know, a lot of small clubs in the Premier League, where the main aim is just to stay up and everything is geared towards just staying up. And if we stay up, it's a success. And it's usually the start of the end for most clubs when you get into that mindset. It may not happen that year, it may not happen the following year, but sometime you are going to lose that Premier League status. And it may be now that we are turning into a Wigan, where, you know, we're just bracing ourselves for a season where 17th is a big success. It's sad because I do think this club is capable of much better. But after the summer we've had, positivity is at an all-time low. It's not been this miserable since we were facing relegation to the Conference under Tony Petty. Hopefully, over the coming days and weeks, we will see strikers coming in. We can't possibly start the season without any strikers. But the morale just seems to be pretty low around the club as a whole.
All right, well, hopefully things do turn around for you. That is it for today. Tell the folks where they can reach you.
If you want to catch us at the Jackcast, we had a very ranty podcast last week about the way the club was being run. There will be another one up before we kick off the season against Burnley. And if there are no changes, that will be equally ranty, I am sure. You can also read my column in tomorrow's or Wednesday's Carmarthen Journal if you are living down in Southwest Wales.
All right, well, thanks so much for joining us, Gitto, on our very first club special here. I'm sure we'll speak soon.